Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. No, what I'm supposed to be asking. This is Betty Keller on November 28th, 1990. I'm meeting with Martin Goygoechea. The weather outside is very cold and snowy. It's in the middle of winter. We're going to be talking about his participation and residency here in Sweetwater County. Okay, Martin, tell me where you were born and when you were born.
I was born in northern part of Spain, which is the Basque Country, province of Navarra, in a little village, just name is Gorriti. I was born in 1948, and I went to school there in 1966. I decided to come to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Were you born in a hospital or were you born at home?
My mother never told me that.
She never told you that, so you don't know. Maybe you should find out. Okay. What was your country like?
Country is really beautiful. Mountains, in the summer is really green. Rains a lot, and that's why it stays so pretty. Mm-hmm. Where we live is about 900 meters, that is probably about 2,700 feet. From the ocean level.
Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to come here in 1966?
This main reason was the dollars. I wanted to, my ambition, mm-hmm. I wanted to earn some money, and my intention was to come here and stay a few years and earn some money and go back and start a business.
Mm-hmm. What were your first impressions when you came to Rock Springs?
Well, I came here on October 14th, 1966. Mm-hmm. First, I'd like to say the experience in the way. They sent me like a package. I had the address hanging in my coat. That's what they put in my first flight, when I took the first flight with the address to Rock Springs, Wyoming. I was embarrassed to hang that in my pocket. I was putting it inside the pocket, and each time when I had to change the flight or the direction I had to go to, I was showing that, and that's how I came, like a package. Flew to Salt Lake, and then from there I came in the bus. Mm-hmm. The first impression on October 14th, that particular day, there were about 8 to 10 inches snow in Rock Springs, and it was terrible. I thought I was getting in one of the worst places. If I had the money, I would turn around and go back, but I didn't have the money, I was stuck here.
Yeah.
That was my first impression. Then the second thing was the following day, I had a 4 o'clock in the morning breakfast, and they took me to the ranch, and I thought I was going in the pickup forever because I never was used to these open spaces and distances. So
yeah,
it took us about 3 hours to get to the ranch, and I thought that was outrageous.
Yeah, I'll bet. Since you're talking about the ranches, that was your first employment here?
Yes.
On a ranch? And who?
That was the only employment I could, mm-hmm. I could get.
And who was that for? What ranch did you work for?
That was for McGagna Brothers.
For McGagna's. Okay. What were the conditions like? What was it? What did you actually do on that job?
First, I kind of run around with a foreman, helping when that was the shipping time and all that. I did that for about 30 days or so, and then they put me on the sheep camp, mm-hmm. out in the desert. They put me with a guy from Mexico, and giving me the condition. My brother was here before I came. So they gave me the condition to stay with this guy for a couple of months, and then I was gonna, they were gonna put me with my brother, and that's how I started it.
Did you stick with your brother after you were with this other gentleman?
I stayed with my brother about another 6 months or so, and then the management decided to take me and train for a foreman position. So I was one of the luckiest persons. After 6 months or 7 months, I don't remember exactly, I learned how to drive. And second, they trained me how to be a foreman. By 18 or 19 years old, I was the foreman, kind of managing the outside operation.
That's pretty impressive. What were your wages back then?
When I first came here, my contract was for $225 a month.
And then they paid you room and board?
Right.
All right, okay. Was it dangerous? Was anything that you did very dangerous?
No, not really.
No.
Not if I didn't push it, the danger myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good company to work for.
Well, that's great. How many hours did you work in a day? And how many days in a week did you work long hours?
We never worked by the hour.
Oh.
It was daylight to the dark. In the winter was a shorter day than summer, but we never ended the day until dark.
I see. And you were up early in the morning?
7 days. On the first 7 months, I didn't even come to town.
Was that pretty hard?
Well, it was lonely. Somewhat lonely. You get used to it.
Yeah.
Somewhat lonely.
I bet it was lonely. Did you have holidays off or anything like that?
No, we had for the holidays a little additional ham or something, something special to cook. And
that was it?
Just a little celebration in the camp, that's all.
Okay, after you finished working for McGagnas, then where did you work?
After I finished working with McGagnas, I bought a business, which was the butcher shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked there for several years. I could tell you a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
When I went into that business, I was looking at business, no matter what kind of business, something to get in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only business I could afford to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to talk to the previous owner, he indicated, well, I didn't know anything about it, and if I didn't know anything, he didn't think it was a good idea for me to even start offering or looking into the business.
Mm-hmm.
So he discouraged me there, and following day I went back and I asked him to see if I could work for nothing for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I went Monday morning to work for nothing for 1 week, and by Friday I bought the place. So
that's impressive.
Then from there on, I somewhat had a verbal agreement with him. He would have to show me in about 90 days, and that was one of the conditions. But late in the fall, when I took the business, was in the down cycle, and about 30 days after I bought the business, we didn't have no business, so I told him, sorry, I'm going to have to lay you off because this business can't support both of us, and I'm going to have to fight on my own. That's where I started in that business.
Mm-hmm.
I did that in that business for 3 years, and I opened another store in Green River.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little more specialty store, delicatessen, and also the groceries and all that besides the meat shop. And I ran both of them for 2 additional years, and I sold at that time.
Was it just too hectic for you? Is that why you got out of it?
No, I got in more in the motels and some other investments, so I kind of got away from the store business and I went on the other business.
You still have the motels and all this?
I still have some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then from there you went to your present position where you are now?
Well, I did some development and some other activities in the
mm-hmm.
time being between 1980 and 87 actually.
Mm-hmm.
And when the economy went down, the rental and the real estate was really down, I had to do something else, and that's when I decided to go through
mm-hmm.
to the car sales.
Mm-hmm. You feel that, do you like that, doing that?
Yes, I really like it, working with the people, and
mm-hmm.
I thought when I first went to work there it was going to be temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And turned out to be a lot better than I expected. It's a lot more lucrative than I expected when I went in. So that's been good.
That's good. Yeah. Well, I know you're very successful at it. When you were out on the ranch when you worked for Magagna, did you come to town for groceries, or how did they bring them out to you, or?
When I was in the camp, the foreman used to bring like twice or three times a week the groceries
mm-hmm.
and the supplies they needed, like grain for the horses, and in the winter also grain for the sheep and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now when I took that position, then I was
and you were coming
I was in town,
mm-hmm.
living in town in the winter and going out every day in different
mm-hmm.
direction, different camps. So that was my position to. Well, the foreman was mainly give the supplies to the men in the camps, direct them where to go,
mm-hmm.
You know, and count the sheep like once a week or every
mm-hmm.
10 days, so we knew if they lost any sheep at all,
mm-hmm.
we knew what area they were lost so we could look for.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly that was.
Mm-hmm. When you were foreman, how did you handle the language situation? Because you didn't speak English when you first came here, did you?
No, I didn't know any language at all.
How did you learn it?
I was somewhat forced.
Yeah.
I used to take classes in the evenings.
At the college?
At the college and
mm-hmm.
also privately.
Mm-hmm.
There was a program, Right to Read program at that
yes.
time. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. I think they still have that.
Yes, they do.
So that helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some hard times. I used to go to the store and a lot of times pointed out the groceries I needed, the cases, and those
sure.
guys somewhat, they used to laugh at me. And,
did they ever
but I I always was able to get what I needed, and load them out, sign the ticket, and take it away.
Good.
As far as and restaurants we used to have at that time, New Grand was quite active place, and
mm-hmm.
we used to have a count there, and early in the morning we used to go to breakfast, and late evening a lot of times I used to eat there. And I learned quite quickly to order a ham and eggs in the morning and chicken in the evening, and that went along for 3 or 4 months, and I was forced to take a dictionary in my pocket and start ordering different things because I got sick and tired eating those same meals every day.
You can't face chicken to this day, huh? Yeah, that's great. Do you belong to any churches here in town? Or
Catholic Church.
Catholic Church. And most of the Bass community is?
Yes,
Catholic. Oh. Okay. When you were growing up in Spain, what kind of games did you play as a child?
I did a lot of running, handball, that's
mm-hmm.
a big sport still.
Mm-hmm.
I played that. The moment we were able to lift the ball, we start playing.
Mm-hmm.
We play a lot of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the main games in the
mm-hmm.
school, during the school.
Okay. Where did you go to school and what was the classroom atmosphere like? Did you go right there in that village that you lived?
Yes, I went there most of the time, except the last 2 years I went to Pamplona and I stayed in Pamplona for some special classes.
Was Pamplona,
probably
was that
a bigger city?
Mm-hmm. Was that like a high school or was that like a college or?
Pretty much like a going from the high school to a college.
To a college, so. Okay. I know I've heard you talk before about the bull run in Spain. You want to say a little bit about that? I know you said your sons really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's one of the traditions that's been there for a long time. That originally was created just to transfer the bulls from the corral they were keeping prior to the fight, and that's exactly what it is right now. And then as far as people getting in the street and all that, they came somewhat in between or after as a part of the game. It's a tradition, and it's been there for many, many years. It's dangerous, but it's not as dangerous they make everybody believe in the TV or when you see it. There are the guards, they go in front of the bulls, and if anybody is with too many drinks, something like that, they do pull them out. The people who are there most of the time are able to run and they're able to handle. They are able to defend themselves.
Sure. You've participated in that then, haven't you?
I watched many times, but I never
Let's see.
The most dangerous part on that is going in the arena, in the doorway sometimes, especially the weekend, there's too many people and people can go through, and then there's been some times people got piled and run the bull, they go over the people.
Oh dear. When you were a child, were you expected to do chores around the house?
We not only chores, we did a lot of work.
I bet you did. Can you describe some of that work?
Yes, we did. During the Depression, during the war, or after the war, during the Depression, well, we came with a big family, we were 10 of us in our family. And pretty poor, and not to compare, we never were hungry or anything like that, but we were quite poor. So the older brothers, as they were getting 14 years old or 15 years old, they were getting earn some money, you know, either working on the timber or construction or factory or whatever. So it was in the middle, and we had to carry the farm work with our parents. We always had somewhat heavy work, being in the livestock and taking care of the livestock after school or before school, weekends, every time. That's one thing I see a big difference from this culture to that, at that time especially. People learn taking responsibility is a heavier work, lot younger age than in the United States.
How are your birthdays celebrated?
Over there they celebrate, they used to celebrate the name mainly, rather than the birthday.
I see.
So the saint's name, and that's where they usually celebration. Now lately they're going back more on the birthday over there also.
Do they do presents like we do here in this country? Or?
No, usually it's a gathering of people together and
have a
good dinner and a good celebration that
enjoy
each other.
Yeah. And how about Christmas? How is that celebrated?
Christmas, again, was like a party celebration, but the King's Day, January 5th night, that's when like a Santa Claus used to bring the presents or, you know, when we were children, we had to stay in bed, and by the morning the presents were there.
Yeah.
You know, the tradition is to put a shoe out in the window, and the kings that came from the window, they put their presents. Each one had their shoe there for the presents.
What kind of presents did they get? Is it anything like here in America?
No.
It's probably something they needed.
Something
more.
They needed, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Or some treats, or candy or some treats.
Yeah. When you were a young man, what was the dating like? Did you date over there?
Yes, I used to.
And you did probably
Mainly,
have cars and all that kind of stuff like
no,
they do here. So how would you
I didn't
entertain
even know how to
somebody?
drive until I came here.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I
So what
came
did you
young.
take somebody for a walk or what did you do?
Usually it was with the music, a dance, and you know, the Sunday afternoon celebration. And then the tradition was the young men I used to help. The girls to their house.
That's neat. What did your family do for fun, or did you ever go on a vacation? Or
Not
we just
really.
work, not really.
Yes, most of them was
But
work.
for fun was probably on
On
Sunday on the
Sundays.
dance.
And then in the summer they have festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And that is between June and September. And then almost every weekend or every other weekend there's a festival. So we were able to get out more in those times, either Saturday and Sunday. Or we used to go to our uncle's or aunt's house and play with the cousins, to stay there for 2-3 days, and that was a big treat.
Sure.
And play.
That's like a vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what my mind was. It's gone. Now you came from a big family, and I know that you are divorced, but you do have two children of your own, don't you?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about them?
About what?
Your children, their names, and how old they are, and where
the
they are.
The oldest one's name is Santos. He was named after my father, after his grandfather. And my youngest boy is Mike, Mikhail. And they, I'm really proud of them. They've been really good boys, good students.
Are they?
Good in sports, really active. In any sports, they're playing basketball right now, and during the week, and weekends they ski.
Wonderful. Are they maintaining the Basque language? Can they speak Basque, or?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't able to manage that.
Yeah.
They do speak some Spanish. Hopefully they will develop more on that.
That's great. Okay, I'd like to start talking about the Basque community here in Rock Springs. What role do you think the Basques have played in the development of Rock Springs?
Mainly, I would say ranching.
Ranching.
Sheep ranching.
You bet. Do you have any idea how many Basque people are here in Rock Springs? Approximately?
Were there... You're talking about relations or
not really
married
related.
To or
yeah,
associated
family.
The families and associations. I would say probably between Greener and Rock Springs, we probably have somewhere between, including all of them, between 300 and 400.
I didn't realize there was that many.
I would think so.
Do you know why some of them came to Rock Springs? Was it like you? Was it for the money that they came over? Or?
Mainly, yes. I think even the older generation, they came here.
The older
generation, they came because the war, to get away from the war, and also many others for the opportunity. In our generation, there was the outlet open to come in to herd sheep in the contract, for a 3-year contract. And exchange, dollars change, if we calculated for that area, was quite a bit of money, and we were encouraged.
I know you helped form an organization for the Basque people in Sweetwater County. Can you tell me about this organization and what they do?
Yes, what we call it the Basque Club. It's a southwestern, the name is Alcatasuna, the Southwestern Basque Club. And prior to that, we did some activities, getting one time of the year for dinner, and we have some dances and all that. And, from there, we decided to form the club, and I did quite a bit of work on that, which has been pretty active. It's our first year since we formed the club, and we did quite a few things this year, and we expect to do a lot more.
You also formed the Basque Dancers too, didn't you?
Well, I started it, yes.
Started it, and that's still active today, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. The group is a little better than ever right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good group of dancing.
Well, that's great.
Now there's a other person is the instructor right now.
I see.
So.
And then when you came in tonight, you were telling me about a choir, a Basque choir.
Yeah, we do have a choir. We sing the mass, and mainly we get involved with the mass and some other songs, church activities.
Sure. How many people are in the Basque choir?
Sometimes we have about 15 to 20, most of the time about 15.
Now, do you sing in Basque, or do you sing
in... We sing in Basque. Some songs in between and in English.
Did most of the people in the choir know how to speak Basque, or are you teaching them, or...?
They understand, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of them, they know Basque language,
mm-hmm.
but we also have some of them, they have to practice a lot
sure.
of the words to be
sure.
able to sing.
Yeah. I also know that you taught, because I was a student of yours, a course in the Basque language. What prompted you to do that? Was there just a lot of people in Rock Springs that didn't know how to speak Basque, or...?
That idea was mainly from my class, where my teachers, the right to read program, they were asking over and over and over, well, how about if you teach us your culture and language at the college, and that's when I got an interest. The reason behind was when I came here, or even couple of years or 3 years after, wasn't anything, nobody had any Basque
mm-hmm.
activities, either getting together or anything. That was the first, probably,
mm-hmm.
the teaching the language and the culture, and then we had the little party, as you know,
mm-hmm.
after that, and that was the beginning of the,
yeah.
you know, we were, I don't remember, 50, 60 people probably at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of the Basque Festival, what we call now is a yearly thing.
Yes.
I also had a little radio program, which I thought those guys on the camps, they needed something on their culture. And I used to have half an hour program at a KRKK station
mm-hmm.
Sunday afternoons.
I wasn't aware of that.
And then that went on for a couple of years, and then... You know, somehow we, you know, get away from it. But
mm-hmm.
Ever since then, it's been developing, and it's, right now, I think we're more together. We know each other, whoever lives here, and I think general public is more aware of the Basque nationality.
How do most of the Basque people perceive Rock Springs? Do they like it here?
Most of them, when they first came, they thought it was really desolate country.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just happens the same thing to everybody else. It grows on you. And one thing about it, if we weren't happy, we wouldn't stay.
Yeah.
We're pretty willful.
Yes.
Or decisive nationality. If we don't like it, we don't stay.
I know.
You know? There's something good here. I really like it.
Yeah.
Really friendly people and
yes, they are.
Business opportunities, etc.
Can you name some of the more prominent Basque families here in Rock Springs and
prominent.
What they do? And what they do?
I think the prior generation and their well established here are the Aramels
mm-hmm.
family, Aramels family, Karakabudu family, Juregi family,
mm-hmm.
and then Larabasters, and some Rutias, and several of them. I don't have as much association
mm-hmm.
with them,
sure.
but Echeverry's.
Mm-hmm. And they're all pretty much ranchers, aren't
they? Loisates. There are several others.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in the same time. And I guess the Savalas living here.
Do the Basque people have a real interest in education? They are interested in educating their children, aren't they?
Right.
They really want.
And you'll find out here or all over through the United States, most of the second generation or third generation or down where the children are born here, most of it really well educated. A lot of professionals are, like if you go to Boise, Idaho, some of those places, they have more of establishment, more people there. There's a lot of attorneys, a lot of professionals, a lot of engineers.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. Getting away from that a little bit, now I need to talk a little bit about politics. What political party did you support and why?
Do I have to talk about that?
No, you don't. If you don't want to, that's fine, Martin. That's all you have to say. Do you vote?
This year I didn't. I was too busy work, and somehow I got away from registration. I regret on the day the election, but I didn't vote.
No.
Previously I did. Since I became a citizen, I voted every time.
How long were you here before you became a citizen?
I was here about 8 years. First 3 years, I had to work under the contract,
mm-hmm.
which I was only allowed to work under the sheep ranch in operation.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do any other work.
Mm-hmm.
Then during that time, I became a resident, what they give the green card or the
mm-hmm.
resident card.
Mm-hmm.
So during by the time I took the resident card, I was ready to take the citizenship. I did my studies about the history and everything I need. I was all ready to take the test and everything. I found out at that time I had to wait 5 years to become a 5 years resident of the United States to become a citizen. So I had to wait on that. 1975, I became a citizen. So it was a total of 8 years.
Yeah. What is your best memory, either the saddest or the funniest, of Sweetwater County?
I have a good memories in the summers in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Being up there and having a great, great days.
Mm-hmm.
Not working, but really enjoying working.
Sure.
That's, every summer when I go camping, I feel I'm back home. That was
okay.
Great. The saddest, I think, was when I first came here. The family was on the other side of the ocean, and being here so far away from the family, that always, especially in the holidays, was kind of hard to take. It was some deep sadness in my inside. I have to admit probably the best thing was getting married, and the worst was getting divorced.
I've been there too, so you're not alone.
As you experience, I enjoyed greatly being in the businesses. I enjoy it really when I was growing up and doing well.
Sure.
And, I learned a lot when I was having a hard time.
You bet.
I found out a person learns a lot more when you're having a hard time than when you're having a good time, so
exactly
I had both sides.
That's right. How has Sweetwater County changed from the time you came and the way it is now?
The growth has been tremendous. I never speculated that would happen in this area. I came 1966, and probably
that was just prior to the
Rush Springs. Yeah, Rush Springs had at that time probably 7,000-8,000 people, and today probably is over 20. And to watch that progress was was quite interesting. I had a years between 1972 and 75. I couldn't hardly stand it because there were opportunities, the progress, and I could see everything, and I was still working on the ranch because I was foreman. I felt obligated. I was well paid for my position, but not. I also knew I was missing a lot on the progress. So it was something, I had a hard time staying there. I stayed a couple of years there pretty forcefully. I guess the loyalty was there.
Yeah.
Loyalty
sure.
to the company, maybe, sure. what kept me there.
Yeah. Okay, and then this about wraps it up, but it's in the end says, do you have any words that you would like to leave for your grandchildren or heirs? Well, you don't have grandchildren yet. Would you like to say anything about the Basques or about your family that we haven't covered?
Well, I don't have much to say there. All I can say is I'm going to say about the country is the greatest country. Whoever complains here in this country is, I would say, is because they're spoiled, because there's no other country like this. Anyone would have an idea what the other countries, what the other places, how the other in other places live like, they would have a more appreciation. I have a great appreciation for Sweetwater County or United States, however you want to put it. This is the only country I'm in, so it's been great for me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Martin. This has been great. Does that intimidate you? But I
well. I was
Don't let it
say a few things, and then you pick some of the things.
Yeah, well, I have to type it pretty much the way you said it. So.
But what the ranch in general public has a feeling is like a low life type thing, and I completely disagree with that. I said several times when I was doing that, you are working with the life. They're animals, but they're live. It's not like a piece of machinery. You park somewhere for the weekend, you turn the key off, and they stay there. The livestock, even though they don't talk, they have their mind, and you got to worry about what they're going to do or how to feed them. Or, and if you don't keep them well fed and well satisfied, they take actions with the weather change. Either they try to run away, and they're it's a life. They're in general, American people, they don't know what the livestock life is. It's a really sensitive life. You working with life is we used to treat them like a people, and that's why I think if you research, most of the Basque are so successful in the livestock business because they know how to take care of it. Before we came here, in our little farm, we had about 10 or 12 cows and 4 or 5 pigs, about 100 head of sheep, and that raised a family of 10. And we never were hungry. We were nothing luxury, but we didn't miss at that time anything. It tells you where the value comes for the life, and they really take care of those animals daily or hourly, and if they have any illness, they cure them, and the veterinarians probably are just as busy as the doctors, and they probably do it just as much money, and why is it? Because they support the families, and that's one thing I found out on this culture. Even today, I get a comments, these sheep, they make a comments for me where I work. And, I have great answers for them.
How bet you do. I tell them, too.
I have experience they never had, and I'm proud of it.
You should be proud of it, Martin.
So,
I admire you so much. I think anybody that comes to this country without knowing the language, because I know what it was like 3 weeks in your country not knowing the language. That was something I'll never forget, either. It was difficult. But
first, the language, that was, well, it takes a little while. In the beginning, was kind of tough. The worst part was, in my mind, I didn't doubt my intelligence were as much as anybody else's, but I don't blame the people. The people are good here, mm-hmm. but sometimes you don't know what they're talking back to you, and the way they come, or they're smiling or laughing, or they have a laugh, you don't know why they're laughing.